Morning, everyone. We have a quorum. We will call this meeting officially to order. With that, members, I will bring back in front of us House File 3585. The motion on this bill is to send it to State Government Finance. And Representative Drazkowski, I believe you also have the A13 amendment. Is that correct?
I do, Mr. Chair.
With that, members, I will move the A13, help with the bill to shape the author wishes. Representative Drazkowski, do you wish to say anything before we put the bill in the shape the author wishes?
I can just describe it quickly, Mr. Chair. It includes all of the exact same language as the original bill did on the contracts and the managerial plans. The same language, Article 2, Section 1 is still the same language dealing with the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. And Section 2 is the paycheck protection provisions that require that unions can't spend the dues for political purposes, and protects those within their organization who would not like to contribute to political spending. And then lastly is the public openness of public meetings. We changed that around after meeting with the commissioner and other people who had testified on the bill originally. The other reform provisions have been dropped from the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Members, any questions before we put the bill in the shape the author wishes? Seeing none, all in favor of the A13, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. I see there is also an A14 amendment in the packet. Does anyone wish to claim the A14?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Halverson.
I would like to offer the A14 amendment.
Representative Halverson moves the A14. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a short amendment. It simply seeks to delete Article 2 of the bill in order to make sure that all members are able to participate as they wish in terms of all of their that they get the benefit of the negotiations between any union and any employer. It's been a widely held belief that the union is negotiating on behalf of all members, eliminating this provision is very important to make sure that we can maintain the ability for employees to negotiate with their employers.
Thank you, Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Halverson.
I would also like a roll call on this amendment.
Roll call has been requested. Just so members know, we had extensive testimony and public testimony last time around. In fact, there's nothing new in the bill. The bill, I think, has been influenced by some of the public testimony that we've had. So we're not going to open it back up for testimony. However, Mr. Kajewski, I don't know if you're interested at this time. Waving his head no at this point. So with that, we will go on to any further member questions or discussion on the A14. Seeing none, a roll call is requested. The roll will be taken.
Chair Sanders.
No.
Vice Chair Pugh.
No.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative Albright.
No.
Representative Fenton.
No.
Representative Halverson.
Yes.
Representative Lane.
Yes.
Representative Nash.
Nope.
Representative Scott.
No.
Representative Runbeck.
No.
Representative Joachim.
Yes.
There being four ayes and seven nays, the amendment does not pass. The motion does not prevail. There are no more amendments to the bill. Representative Drazkowski, to your bill is amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to thank the committee for the opportunity to bring this bill forward and look forward to further discussion as it moves through committee and onto the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Member questions and discussion. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski, I just have a quick question regarding the kind of the LCC setup for the Compensation Council. On line 3.8 and 3.9, you delete language that awards the contract to be temporarily in place until the council meets. I looked, tried to look online to figure out with the composition of the council, who holds the gavel, how does that gavel switch back and forth? Could you fill me in on that a little bit?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Joachim. Subcommittee on Employer Relations is currently the gavel is held by the Senate, and it rotates each biennium between the Senate and the House, so back and forth. So next biennium, the House will have the gavel, and the biennium after, again, the Senate will.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the gavel switches every 2 years?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what I understand.
Representative Joachim.
Mr. Chair, is there any requirements in the rules of LCC committees of having to call a meeting?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Joachim, to call a meeting, is that what you said? I can just tell you that the meetings are called by the chair generally after querying the members about their availability, and then the chair and staff make decisions, and then announce a meeting of the subcommittee. That's how I've seen it done.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering if there's any requirement for the chair to call a meeting once a contract has been submitted.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Joachim, I don't know the answer to that.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does council have the answer? I had looked up 3.855, and that just talks about the structure, but no underlying rules.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Joachim, first of all, I'm going to put Greg Hubinger on alert that I'd like to ask him a question. There's nothing in the statute that requires that, but the way the subcommittee is set up, the statute actually assigns duties to the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and then it allows the Coordinating Commission to appoint a subcommittee. So the LCC adopts a resolution that appoints this subcommittee every biennium, and then the subcommittee adopts its own rules. And I didn't bring with me either a copy of that LCC resolution or the subcommittee rules, so I can't remember offhand what those say about the 30-day when a meeting has to be called. And Mr. Hubinger may have that.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. Mr. Hubinger, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. I didn't bring my copy of the rules either, but my memory is that the rules mimic the statute and just calls for the chair to have the authority to call the meeting. Generally, the subcommittee has to act within 30 days of receiving a contract formally submitted to it or the contract goes into effect, but there is no requirement that the chair call a meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Hubinger. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess therein lies the crux of my concern for 3.8 and 3.9 is that when you delete that language, and if there's no requirement for the chair to call a meeting, a contract could be sent to the subcommittee, but the chair for a whole biennium could choose not to call a meeting to discuss it. Would that be an accurate reading?
Mr. Hubinger?
Mr. Chair and Representative Joachim, that's correct.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that is my main concern, that you could have 2 entire years where a chair would decide to sit on a contract and not act on it. So I would oppose 3.8 and 3.9 unless something has changed. Thank you,
Representative Joachim. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have a roll call on this bill.
Roll call is requested. Any other comments? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the author, I'm curious about the
I changed pages listening to Representative Joachim. The Section 1, Subdivision 5, regarding the Commissioner's Plan, it says that there is a limit on what merit-based increases can be, and capping that at 2% for unrepresented state employees. Who is included in that group, and is a commissioner pay increase included in that?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Halverson. That is not does not include commissioners, but it's, as I understand it, it's largely non-union employees who otherwise don't have a home in terms of a group of people. But Mr. Hubinger could address it in more detail if you like.
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Well, if you want somebody to address it, that would be fine. I would add the question of how have performance-based increases with this group been handled in the past, and have they been capped at 2% in the past, or is this new for this group of employees? And I'd be very curious about who this includes, and you know what their salary range is. Because 2% on $31,000 is not a lot of money.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While Mr. Hubinger digs through his materials, Representative Halverson, this is these are, I believe, are largely management type folks to begin with, and the each of these bargaining plans or compensation plans is more accurate. Each of them. Is the recommendations on their increase levels are brought forward by the Office of Management and Budget each biennium to the subcommittee, and then the subcommittee approves or disapproves interim approval, and then eventually the legislature approves full approval in the end. And that's how the process works, as I understand it. But Mr. Hubinger could give us more info if you'd like.
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and members, the Commissioner's Plan includes employees that are, as Representative Drazkowski indicated, not represented by a bargaining unit. A good portion of them are confidential employees or employees that have severed from their bargaining units, such as law enforcement supervisors or state patrol supervisors. The plan had built-in language for performance-based increases of 3.5% each year. In order for an employee to receive those increases, they had to receive a performance appraisal and then have a rating of satisfactory or better performance to receive that increase. It's totally up to the supervisor, but the 3.5% is a maximum.
Representative Halverson.
And Mr. Chair, so in this particular provision of the bill, rather than the 3.5%, it's a 2% maximum for the best performing employees?
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chen, Representative, under this language, the maximum performance increase would be 2% each year.
And finally, Mr. Chair, and does this exclusively include managerial and supervisory employees, or does this also include office staff, temporary workers, other people who might not fit into part of another bargaining unit? It's being portrayed as being exclusively managerial, but I'm curious if it extends broader than that.
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chen, Representative Halverson, there are two compensation plans in this part of the bill that are modified to limit the performance increases to 2%. One is the managerial plan, which includes not the commissioners, but the deputy and assistant commissioners, division heads, that sort of thing. The commissioners plan includes non-represented employees, and it's a full range of confidential employees to supervisors. The average salary in the commissioner's plan is about $71,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Joachim, thanks to our wonderful staff, we do have the rules of the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. And Rule 4.3 does state that the chair shall schedule a full subcommittee meeting to consider action on approved negotiated agreement no more than 30 calendar days following the receipt of the agreement. So they are required, if there is a negotiated agreement, to call a meeting. Representative Joachim.
Thank you for finding those, Chair Sanders. But it's a shall, not a must.
It is a shall, but the chair shall.
Okay.
Poly meeting. Any further member questions or discussion? Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 3585 be referred to the Committee on State Government Finance as amended. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Sanders.
Yes.
Vice Chair Pugh.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Albright.
Yep.
Representative Benton.
Yes.
Representative Halverson.
No.
Representative Lane.
No.
Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Scott.
Yes.
Representative Runbeck.
Yes.
Representative Joachim.
No.
There being seven ayes and four nays, the ayes prevail, the motion prevails. With that, members, we will have pensions coming up sometime shortly, and I think that's probably the only actual work that we'll have in front of us, but stay tuned. We'll let you know if anything changes. Also, I believe we might have a day of informational hearings as well. But with that, members, we are adjourned.